Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. This is Esther Wien, and we're studying Megillat Esther, Perek 6. Okay, let's pick up our drama. The tables are about to turn. And the great standoff between Esther, the responsibility of Am Yisrael to uphold the great truths and values and priorities and realities that are sourced in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the divine, against Haman, the survival mode. I am the measure of everything, the world according to me, and I am God. And in fact, I believe that God has empowered me to do this because I'm working as God himself, right? That is the standoff. But before the standoff, the tables begin to turn. And as we said in Unit 5, he's so deep in. There are very few people like this, but the essence of it, the essence of the worst form of disconnection from God, does not even know how things are malfunctioning around them, how everything is going to boomerang upon them. They can't see it. But here we go. So this character, who represents this terrible, blind, evil, right, ambitious, self-serving attitude, which cuts God out completely, there's no limits to the narcissistic sort of self-aggrandizement. Everything according to me. I'm the measure of all things. So he tells, of course, we know the story. Ahasuerus can't sleep, right? And Haman comes, he says, who's there? And Haman came to suggest that he hang Mordechai. And Ahasuerus says, what should we do? We have to honor someone. Okay, here goes Haman. He says, you know what to do. Take the crown that you wore and the horse that you rode and your royal garb and put it on this person, like absolute unbridled ambitions to dominate everything. Here's what happens. The tables start to turn. Vayomer HaMelech, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think you're overestimating yourself. And he says to this Haman, take everything that you just said, the royal garments and the horse and everything, and do it and put it on Mordechai HaYehudi. You know the one you can't stand. The one you just came to tell me to hang, right? Remember him? Go put all of this royal attire upon Mordechai, the one sitting at the gate, and do not omit a thing. And of course, Haman has to do it. And he has to ride him around Shushan singing, Kacha Yasalish. This is what happens to the person that Hashem finds precious. Okay, so first of all, we're looking at Purim, a glimpse at the end of days. Okay. Where the greatest opponents, the ones that challenge us, and particularly our value system, meaning our value system of kindness, of intelligence, of justice, of Torah lifestyle, of Shabbos and Yontiv, of the way we eat, kashrus, their whole value system, they challenge us. They challenge. Eventually, they're going to have to admit that this is the right way. Now, this little incident here where the tables turn and Haman, it's everything that Haman himself envisioned for himself now boomerangs, and he's got to provide that for someone else. This helps us, is going to help us understand the concept called Nikama. And many of the ideas you've heard are really sourced in the thinking, the approach of Rav Moshe Shapiro, and particularly this one. Nikama, what is Nikama? Hashem is going to take Nikama, so to speak, on Haman. Nikama doesn't mean some sort of, vindictive or petty sort of reaction like, oh yeah, you hurt me, wait till you see what I can do to you. And by the way, I'm God, so it's really not going to be pretty. That's not Nikama. Nikama is a whole different concept. God is not vindictive. He doesn't have these emotions that get triggered. Nikama is a very deep idea. So let's start learning about it. First of all, the word Nikama. We find it in Tehillim Tzadik Dalet 94, Tzadik Dalet. The word Nikama is sandwiched between two names of Hashem that are names of Rachamim. Okay? Kel Nikamot Hashem. Kel and Hashem are from the Midot HaRachamim. Hashem, Kel, Racham, V'chanan. So Nekama is something that is sandwiched and enveloped in absolute rachamim. What does this mean? So when a person's in deep in survival mode and, right, They are living in a fantasy. They are living in a delusion. And the worst part of the whole delusion is that they don't know that they're in a delusion. And they're trying to harm everyone around them because all they care about, as we said, is getting their needs met and indulging themselves. The problem is that they are doing harm to a lot of people, and they're ultimately doing terrible harm to themselves. So how does one pop that bubble, break the spell, help a person out of survival mode? How does that work? Well, first thing is that they have to understand that their way of seeing things is distorted. There is another way. If a person is so deep in that they can't even possibly consider the fact that there is another way of thinking, it's almost impossible to help them. But the first thing that's necessary is to at least get to the point where a person recognizes that, whoa, this mentality I have, it's not working for me anymore. We talked in the last unit about people recognizing that because of their survival mode attitudes, their lives began to malfunction, their health, their relationships, their peace of mind, everything starts to fall apart. And then they desperately go seek help because it's so painful and miserable. And that's why there's a huge industry of treatment and therapy and all sorts of stuff to help people break out of their terrible, you know, uncomfortable, really self-destructive habits. So the first thing is to show that there is an alternative. The way that we see in the Megillah is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, literally, we say Hamelech, right? Is showing Haman, the way you see things, in the split second, everything is reversed. There's another way to see things. It's actually Mordechai who the king. Your attitude is actually not the only way of seeing things. Look, there's a whole other way of seeing things. At least just get past yourself, that you are the measure of all things, the world according to me, my power above all. Like, there is an alternative. There's other people that see things differently. And in fact, HaMelech sees things differently. But it goes further. That if we see the whole unfolding of the story with Haman, look what happens. Look at the pattern. Every single effort that Haman made, all the resources that he recruited to eliminate the Jews and Mordechai, to empower himself, because ultimately, you know, he wanted the throne. That was his real goal. Every single move he made ultimately boomeranged on him to empower the Jews and destroy him. Let's go to the beginning. He was the one that said, let's get rid of Vashti. So he opened the door for a new queen. Turned out to be Esther, as we talked about, Shaul's great-granddaughter. He put Esther on the throne, essentially. It was his doing that put Esther on the throne. And then he became an extremely wealthy man. He was the most wealthiest person in the world, practically. He amassed a huge amount of wealth. Where did it go? It all went to Mordechai in the end. He got the whole estate, everything. Then he made an enormous plan to destroy the Jews. In the end, because of that, the Jews did Shuvah. And they returned to Eretz Yisrael, and they reaccepted the Torah. He empowered the Jews forever. We are all the products of this new commitment we made to move into the adult phase with love and joy and appreciation and embrace our role of being the grassroots, being the source of the grassroots growth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas and Ratzon in the world. Right? We learned all this already. And then he built the gallows. He built the eights. To hang himself. Literally every move he made boomeranged on him. The idea of Nekama is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take all the efforts made by our greatest enemies in survival mode mindset. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us that every single thing that they did to empower themselves, to strengthen their whole justification of their lifestyle, everything they did in the end is going to serve Am Yisrael, empower Am Yisrael, empower the Jews, and it's going to serve to destroy them. For example, the mushel we gave is in Iran today, same old, right back in Iran, same story. There's another Haman, right? And they want to annihilate all the Jews, same thing. We're not feeling the direct threat like they did in the Purim story. I hope that doesn't come. But imagine if they build that bomb and we really do get scared. And there's a mass tshuva like there was in the Purim story. And then they detonate that bomb, but it blows up over them. Okay? And we realize that all the money, all the resources, all the brain power, everything that they spent and invested in to build that bomb, okay, all was ultimately to destroy them and show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a dome of protection over Am Yisrael and turn the hearts of the mind, the hearts and minds of everyone to recognize that there's much bigger going on, much bigger story unfolding behind the scenes than what meets the eye. Just like the Purim story. That would be like a perfect Purim scenario. But in any case, what Nekama is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the choices that even we make in survival mode. And he uses those very choices to teach us that we're living in a delusion, that the choices themselves that we're making are going to destroy us. And so we learn on our own, in other words, the difference between the great miracles of Purim and why the end of days is going to be like the Purim miracles and not like the Pesach miracles, not like the childhood miracles when Hashem broke open the heavens and split the sea. And you see, when we're children, the way you teach the truth is you say, let me show you how powerful, right? Hashem says, let me show you who I am and how powerful I am and why what I'm teaching you is the ultimate truth and why you should obey it and why you should live by it and why this should be the way you begin to think. Hashem breaks open the heavens and does all sorts of nisim and, oh, yes, it's true. This must be the right way. But the Purim miracles are very different because through the Purim story, we learn that we come to the awareness that there's only the Ratzon Hashem behind everything. We come to that awareness not through big miracles in nature, but just through examining human nature. Just by our own experience, we try to do things our way, and in the end, everything we tried boomeranged on us. So that means we can't do things the way we tried, but there is a better way. If we tamper with the system, we say that we're going to set up the world on our terms, it's not going to work. And it's going to come back to bite us. And then we're going to say, I give up. And we're going to be able then to say, what's the right way? What's a better way? And we're going to open our hearts and minds to start finally recognizing what's been there all along, the great truths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, how you're supposed to live, how a person's supposed to live, and the fact that we are part of something eternal, that you can't, there's no one's going to sabotage it. And the eternal truths that we live by are going to always be there and always be the eternal truths. And no one's going to be able to get in the way of those. And we try to get in the way and it just comes back at us. We say, okay, I give up. Eventually we just give up. Haman was so deep in, he should have said, I give up a lot earlier. When the king said, take Mordechai on this horse, and he should have said, okay, I don't know if this, I give up. But he went forward with his gallows, and he went to the party, and then it was too late for him. So, to be continued. Thank you for learning. Give me a second. My laptop just shut down. I have to tell you that our learning is in a zechus of Eloi Nishmas, Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin Rachel Bat Shlomo.